Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, we got down through verse 17 last time, and we're going to pick up in verse 18 and read through the 12th verse of chapter 19. So Acts 18:18 through 19:12. This is God's word. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Say, "Pastor, why do you start in the middle of this chapter and read into the beginning of this chapter?" I will remind you that the chapter divisions and the verse notations were added later to make it easier to find your way around the book, okay? They were not part of the original text. It was all one thing. And maybe sometime we'll just do the whole book of Acts together, but not today. So we're looking at the continued spread of the gospel and growth of the kingdom. And as we do this, we see in the beginning of this passage some travelogue about Paul going here and going there and going to another place. But we're introduced to an important fellow and some important clarification of teaching. We're introduced to Apollos. Who is Apollos? In 1 Corinthians, we're going to see that his ministry in Corinth later on had a tremendous impact and that Paul embraced that, but that some of the believers in Corinth began to break into denominations based on whether they were loyal to Paul or loyal to Apollos or loyal to Peter or whether they were simply Christians. We are of Christ. Paul says, we're all supposed to be the body of Christ. Don't divide into factions based on who your favorite preacher is. Apollos was a remarkable fellow. He was a learned man. He came from Alexandria, a place where the Jews had been Hellenized. That means they had been immersed in Greek culture. The library in Alexandria was world-renowned. If you were in Rome, you knew about the library in Alexandria. And that's where Apollos grew up, and that's where he was educated. And so when it says he was a learned man, it's not talking about the scriptures, it's talking about philosophy. It's talking about all the literature that was available. We saw that Paul quoted from two secular Greek thinkers and authors so that he would connect the truth of the gospel with the people who were there in Athens. Apollos was super well educated and he knew the scriptures thoroughly. Now, when it says the scriptures, what are we talking about? Well, the Gospels, the Epistles, no, none of that was part of the Scriptures referred to here. When it says the Scriptures, we're talking about the Torah. We're talking about what we call the Old Testament. When people today try to say that just focus on the New Testament, you don't need the Old Testament, those people are ignoring what's in the New Testament. Because the New Testament tells us we need to know and believe the Old Testament because it's God's Word. So are you saying we're under law? No, read the book. The Old Testament said there's going to be a New Testament coming. God says he's going to initiate a new covenant. And now that new covenant has come and been fulfilled in Christ Jesus and is being manifested in his people. So Apollos, when it says he knew the scriptures thoroughly, is talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And he spoke with great fervor. Fervor is when those truths have ignited a fire in you. Suppose I said, after being away from my wife for a time, hello, dear, it is good to see you. Wouldn't you have a little bit of concern for my relationship with my wife? Shake my hand, darling, won't you? I've missed your touch. No, I love my wife. She loves me, thank God. And so if you spend time with us, you begin to pick up on that. And when I talk about the gospel, I don't simply say that I'm grateful upon reflection. that rather than spending eternity in the lake of fire, I'm looking forward to being with God in His home forever. And this truth gives me great joy. That would be crazy. I am so thankful for what God has done. It changes everything. There's nothing in my life that means as much, including my wife, as the gospel does. And so Apollos spoke with great fervor, and he taught about Jesus accurately, even though he only knew the baptism of John. But then what was missing? Well, something was, and we'll see what it was.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
Priscilla and Aquila, I hope you remember them. They were the tent makers that Paul had linked up with, spent time with, done ministry with, and obviously, they knew the truth of the gospel and the knowledge of the kingdom of God better than Apollos did. They were tent makers, but they knew more than Apollos did about what is most important. And so when they heard him speak, they said, "Don't listen to that guy. He doesn't have the full picture." Now, why do I say that? Did they say that? No, they did not. But I've seen a lot of people say that sort of thing when they hear someone who doesn't have the whole picture. When they hear a teacher who is very eloquent and very passionate, but not balanced, they write him off. They try and steer everybody away from him. Instead, they invited Apollos to their home. They wanted to try and help the guy. And thank God, he was humble enough to receive instruction. Priscilla and Aquila, give us a model of what to do when you hear someone who is fervent and knowledgeable, but needs to know more. You receive them lovingly, and you share the truth that you understand, and perhaps you can bless each other. Now, it requires humility on the part of both parties, okay? You've got to realize this person has something to contribute, and they have to realize that they don't know it all. I am still learning, and I'm getting old, but I'm still learning. I see things as I read through the scriptures, and I'm like, when did they put that in there? Okay? I mean, I've read this over and over and over. I've taught the scriptures over and over and over. But if I live to be 120 and I read the Bible through twice a year, I'm still going to have things to learn. Because God's Word is so marvelous. It is any child can learn what you need to know in order to be saved. And somebody with multiple PhDs who knows the original languages can study and 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 still keep learning. God's Word is truth. And so if you want to know the truth, stay in the Word. Apollos knew the Scriptures thoroughly, but he still had more to learn. He still had more to learn. So Priscilla and Aquila took him into their home, taught him more the way of God more adequately. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, it said. That was part of the introduction of Apollos. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, but they explained to him the way of God more adequately. He still had more to learn. I hope you know you do too. So Priscilla and Aquila explained to him the way of God more adequately. I wonder what it was that wasn't quite right. Wonder what the lack was. Well, that's why we went on into chapter 19. Because while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, and there he found some disciples. Disciples. Not just believing Jews. These were disciples. And he asked them, for some reason, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He could tell something was missing. Well, if the third person of the Trinity is missing, that's a pretty big lack. Okay? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I know some folks who've heard that there's a Holy Spirit and they would like to be sure that he doesn't get too involved in their lives because they don't want to turn into fanatics. You know what I mean? Let me just tell you something. If you want to give me horror stories about mentally unbalanced, theologically unbalanced, people who claim to be led by the Holy Spirit, I can match you. Story for story, anecdote for anecdote, heresy for heresy. I've been around. But if you think that that's all that God's people, and a lot of them are God's people, if they believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit is still being alive and active today, if you believe that that is new, you need to go back to the Scriptures. I'm not saying you need to go to a bunch of more Pentecostal meetings and see if maybe you can get some emotion going. I'm saying go back to the Scriptures and see what it says, because what it says is that we even sing about it. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. And some folks would really rather leave the Holy Spirit unspoken. Paul could recognize that these disciples didn't know the Lord the way they should. How important is it for people to be born again? It's essential. Jesus said, unless a person's born again, they can't enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. What was the Apostle Paul teaching about? Verse 8 of chapter 19, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. If you start in chapter 1 of the book of Acts and you go all the way to the end of the book of Acts and you underline everywhere it talks about the kingdom of God, you'll find that that's what the focus of the teaching was. And in the kingdom of God, it's not geography. The kingdom is spreading throughout the earth. The kingdom of God is about relationship, where he is our king. Our lives are yielded to him. And let me tell you, that is absolutely impossible apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know about the Holy Spirit, and you don't yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be living in the kingdom. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the life of Christ and gives us new birth. We're born of the Spirit. That's what it says in John 3. He gives us new birth and he takes up residence in us. That was something that didn't happen that night when Nicodemus was meeting with Jesus. John's gospel tells us that only after Christ had died and risen was it possible then for people to receive what we now experience. We're not part of the old covenant anymore. We are now in the new covenant where Christ in you is the hope of glory. How is Christ in me? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's a good thing for you for me to go to the Father because I'm going to send the Spirit. And the Spirit is going to manifest my life in and through you. So Paul recognized that these folks did not know the Lord on that level. Apollos did not know the Lord on that level. He was given further instruction by Priscilla and Aquila. I have seen a whole bunch of people, including people in ministry over the years, who did not know the Lord in that way. And when they discovered that Christianity is not just about having your sins forgiven, it's about having God come to live his life in and through you, absolutely changed everything. It's not enough to know about him. It's not enough to have your sins forgiven. The reason we needed to have our sins forgiven is so that we could draw near. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. God opened the way into the holiest of holies. And God invites us to know him intimately, to live in him and he in us. That is what this is about, and that's what Apollos didn't understand. And that's what Paul came to Ephesus and introduced to them. And when he told them about it, they put their trust in Jesus and were baptized into Christ Jesus, in his name. And Paul put his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and God began to do supernatural things through their life. Now, we said in our study of Corinthians that you can be manifesting gifts of the Spirit and still be a very carnal Christian, a very fleshly Christian. The Corinthians lacked no gift. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. They were lacking no gift. But they were sadly lacking in spiritual maturity. What is the manifestation of God's love for the church? His gifts, they're wonderful. What is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit living in a person who is surrendered to him? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? 1 Corinthians 13, love. It's God's nature manifest in you. If you are knowledgeable and fervent and you don't love, well, you're just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If you surrender your body to the flames, making great sacrifices, you can't be more fervent than that. But you don't have love, you gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Doesn't envy. Doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It isn't rude. We love him because he first loved us. You know what we need? Is to believe the gospel. We need to believe that God loved us when we didn't love him. And that God paid the ultimate price so that we could be reconciled to him. And when we really believe that, when we repent of thinking we've got to earn it, we've got to do it, we've got to make it happen, I'm just going to have to try harder. When we realize, I can't, God have mercy on me, a sinner. When we put our trust in Him, He comes to live in us. And as we yield ourselves daily to Him, denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Him, when we do that, He empowers us to do His will. Might there be gifts of the Holy Spirit manifested? Whatever God says, He gives sovereignly to each one as He sees fit. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12. God's the one who passes out the gifts. You don't go to Him and say, I don't want that one. No, I don't want that one. You go to Him and you say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do what you want with my life, Lord, I'm yours. And as you surrender daily to Him, He will empower you to do what He has ordained for you to do. Don't be afraid. Just trust Him. Yield yourself to Him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.